Welcome to the Nexus Podcast. The word Nexus means a connected group. And when it comes to church leadership, we're better together. No one should have to choose between developing themselves and developing their church. The Nexus Podcast by Christ Fellowship is all about having real conversations that equip and resource you to grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church. So let's lean in.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Nexus Podcast. Each February, Christ Fellowship holds our annual conference. The goal of the Christ Fellowship Conference is to create a place where church leaders from all over can come, get encouraged, and equipped to lead strong in their ministry. Our passion is to help you build your culture, strengthen your team, and fulfill your mission. At Christ Fellowship Conference 2023, you will hear inspiring messages, learn practical training, and receive helpful resources, and be a part of networking opportunities with other church leaders. Tickets are on sale right now for the 2023 conference taking place February 8th and 9th. So visit ChristFellowshipConference.com for more information. In this past February at our 2022 conference, we had the chance to sit down with Michael Neal. Michael Neal is a Dove Award-winning songwriter and national best-selling author. Michael is a worship pastor and artist in residence at Prestonwood Church in Plano, Texas, while also leading and speaking at conferences and churches around the country. In this conversation, we talked all things creative in the church and how everyone is creative, not just those in our creative departments. It was a rich conversation that we're excited to share. So let's listen in. Well, Michael, we're excited to have you on the Nexus Podcast, man.
Man, it's an honor to be here.
Yeah, you and I have been friends for a long time, and we could spend probably hours telling stories of kind of our shenanigans throughout the years, but it's so cool to just spend some time with you again in this setting to kind of talk about leadership, creativity, and how we develop ourselves and also move the church forward. So I've always admired that you have always been a student of learning, of growing, of developing yourself and developing your creativity. So every leader has that Genesis story start to their creativity. Where you are today, if you were to look back, can you just share a little bit of your journey of creativity that led you to songwriting and writing books?
Well, yeah, and Pastor James, it's awesome to be with you as always. We've got a lot of history together, so this is awesome. I would say going back really goes back to my teenage years when I started, you know, discovering the gift of music, being able to kind of sit down at the piano and play things, you know, that I heard. And so taking that even further and then going into college, I really began to sense the need to want to create an original expression to the Lord. Everything I was doing was in worship. So I was singing in church and really wanting to point people to Jesus in music. And so for me, it really came down to, I believe I have something that I want to say. I don't want to just sign the Hallmark card.
Yeah.
You know, I really believe that I want to create something from my heart. And those early quote unquote cards that I made were not very pretty cards.
Yeah.
You know, they weren't great, but they were original from my heart, and I kind of look at it like when my kids would bring me artwork when I was a young parent, and you didn't really even know what it was because they'd made it with pipe cleaners and googly eyes and all those kind of things. And so they would bring it to me and say, "This is for you, Dad. This is for you." And so for me, the heart behind that would just melt me, and I thought, you know, that's what I want to do with the creativity that God's given me. I want to present it to Him as just is art that says, "This is for you, Abba. This is for you, Father."
Awesome.
And so that's really where it comes from. And all through the years, God's been so amazingly faithful to put people in my path to shape that, to encourage it, to be in it. And so all these years later, with lots of songs and a few books and lots of services you and I have led through the years and experiences and productions and all the rest, it's been incredible. So I believe everybody's creative, actually, you know, and so been fostering that for a long time now.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that thought of when your child brings you a piece of art and it's not very artistic.
Yeah.
So can you think of when it was that you began to kind of go, I don't want to just bring some art, but I want to bring really a high level of craft to your songwriting specifically, and maybe even, you know, writing books is a newer practice for you, but when did it move from just the still that expression of love, but that creative thing began to kind of go, I want to create something significant?
Yeah, well, I think I've always been on the journey to create something that would last, you know, beyond me. I'll tell you, that's something that I just turned 50 years old and I'm still trying to find that, right? Yeah. You haven't written that song yet. You haven't written that book yet. You haven't, because I think there's just ever evolving, and staying curious is huge.
Yeah.
But I think back when I was first starting out and I had moved to Nashville, I got connected with a producer very early, and you know, that producer said, I'm really glad that you've written 10 songs, Michael. That's really great. But if you want to, you know, to be a professional, then you need to treat it like a profession and don't treat it like a hobby.
Yeah.
And so that began, you know, just the, I would say the pathway of iteration, like constantly working at the craft to get better and better. And the more you flex the muscle, the better you get at it and the easier that it flows. And you go through seasons all through life, but for 30 years now, you know, especially writing songs, books later in life, over the past maybe 10 years, I meet with a lot of artists and writers and people all through the years that want to kind of pick my brain, you know, and how did you come up with this, or how did you do this? And most of the time, you know, especially in the younger community, a lot of times it's rare to find the fortitude to actually do the work, because we all have, there's a gap between what we envision and what we can actually do early on, right? We envision this amazing record, this amazing mix, this amazing song, and we start writing and we go, oh man, this doesn't translate. This doesn't sound as good as I want it to. The only thing that closes that gap is a volume of work.
Yeah.
And not just a volume of work, but a volume of evaluated work.
It's so good.
So you have to be evaluated, which means you're submitting yourself to people that are further along than you. You're getting feedback in different ways. You know, one of the things I'm working on right now, there's a creative process that happens, and one of those things is inviting trusted people into the process to evaluate your work. That's a huge part of the process of creating something great.
Yeah, it's really good. You know, it reminded me, there's a really great book by Benjamin Hardy talking about the gap and the gain, and he talks about that a lot of times people measure against the ideal and they get frustrated because they're trying to reach this perfect song, you know, and so that commitment to actually measure against progress, the daily disciplines and habits, that you can actually have more resilience because you know you're making progress instead of this ideal thing out there that you just remind me of that. So kind of building on that a bit, what are some daily disciplines or practices that you would encourage creatives that are listening today that they should instill in their, you know, their regular rhythm to kind of strengthen the creative muscles?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, I think it starts a little bit with taking that pressure off. You just alluded to it, you know, chasing the perfect thing. The beauty of what I've discovered in writing songs or writing books or creating experiences is that if we get caught up in the reach and the result of it, then we lose sight of the right, you know, the writing. And so for me, what happens in the process is actually so much more rich than what happens as a result of the process.
That's so good.
So what God's doing and saying in us, what's happening in the relationships of collaboration, what's happening along the way, the pruning that's happening in us, all the things that happen in the process is huge. So I want to say from that perspective, when you enjoy the process, you don't get so hung up on the quote-unquote success of the result. The success is that you're in the game and that you're doing it.
So good.
I would say that whatever your discipline is, if it's playing the piano, if it's playing the guitar, if it's writing a book, it all happens, you know, one moment, one line at a time. When I set out to write the first novel that I wrote, it was so daunting. I don't even think, you know, James, I actually read a complete book until I got maybe my third or fourth year of college.
Like, yeah.
Reading and comprehension was very difficult for me. Mm-hmm. And so the idea of putting together, you know, 150 words for a song, yeah, that's doable. You know, 70,000 for a book, that's a little bit more scary. And I had a kind of a guy that shepherded me through that process, my first editor, Mike Yorkie, and he said to me, Michael, it's literally just, you know, one sentence at a time, one paragraph at a time.
Yeah.
It's a brick by brick mentality. It's one brick at a time if you're building a house. One brick. And then the next day you have a wall built up. And so I think that those daily disciplines of like just putting something down, putting yourself in the chair, staring down the blank page, or, you know, if you're a musician and a songwriter, sitting in the moment enough to hear what's happening in your heart and your mind, what's going on around you to create, we're so distracted in our day and age right now. We're so, I mean, I just think it's so important that people learn to be quiet with themselves. That's and good. Learn to be patient with those small. So for me, I write, you know, I block my time because I kind of, I'm a little bit equal parts leadership, equal parts creating. And they're both kind of synonymous. I mean, you have to do both, but there's times when I'm doing administrative tasks and there are times when I'm doing creative tasks.
Yeah.
And I know you're a student of that and how to actually manage your time and your brain space. It's different when you're creating a song and if you're returning emails and leading a team.
Yeah.
So making sure that you give yourself ample time and know your rhythms and then daily practices of writing a few lines, writing that chorus, documenting what you have and then moving on and just prime that pump constantly.
Yeah, I love the idea of you work yourself into the identity. So this idea of do the verb, be the noun. If you want to be a songwriter, you have to write songs. If you want to be a write books, you have to write. So it's like, you know, do the verb to become the noun. And some people want to be the thing without doing the work that goes with it. Let me ask you this, because there's maybe some listeners who think that they are maybe not creative. And I think both of us would agree that all of us have creativity. And the reality is creativity at its nature is solving problems, right? Whether that's solving how to say something in the book or say something in the song. But what would you say to somebody who feels like they're not creative? What advice would you give to them?
Yes, I would say that, you know, first of all, you are creative because you're made in the image of God.
That's right.
And God is a creator. Now, we don't create, you know, out of nothing, ex nihilo. We create with the materials God's given us, but he has put the DNA of us create because he knows that when we create, things change, things happen, we change.
Yeah.
And so everybody is creative. And I hear that narrative all the time. Well, I'm an accountant, I'm not creative. No, that's not true. You create with how you connect with people, you create with how you lead your kids, you create when you make a meal, you create when you design a system of accounting.
Mm-hmm.
You're constantly creating. And the thing with a lot of people that they don't feel creative is that they've forgotten about risk.
Yeah.
They've forgotten about taking chances.
Mm-hmm.
Because to create something that's artistic and full of something that's fresh and connective, it's not tried and true.
Yeah.
It's experimental in some ways. And so I would say that people need to stop using the term, I'm not creative, because you are creative. And I've been in the world, and I know you have, a lot of the leadership world, you might have a lot of athletes, let's say. You have influencers, you have athletes that go to senior pastor, you know, or executive pastors, and they're athletes. I played a little bit of sports. That culture is very different. And so along the way, the way we relate to one another changes. And so we have to understand the different dynamics, especially when we're communicating on teams. I know that's another subject, but I would say that you are creative. God made you creative. Look for ways to bring wonder into your life, to look at the small miracles that are going on every single day, to appreciate a piece of music and appreciate a piece of art, and look for ways to expand your learning and risk a little bit.
Yeah, I love the idea of claiming your identity, that because we're made in the image of God, you're creative. So stop saying you're not creative and start claiming, I'm a creative.
Yes, that's right.
So
that's right.
Let me turn the corner a little bit to leading creatives, because you've been in a high level of leadership for many years. And as a creative and also leading creatives, sometimes creatives can be hard to lead, right? So have there been any lessons you learned or things that you would encourage leaders who are leading maybe a team of creatives, or they have one or two people on their team that are highly creative thinkers, to help them lead those people better?
Yeah, I would say leading from a place of relationship, it starts with relationship.
Mm-hmm.
When you value the human more than what they do for your organization, that's a big deal. And then I think what I've discovered, and because I would say that I am a creative person because of how God wired me, I like to be led with an extraordinary amount of freedom, which means create the fly zone, create the parameters, paint the vision, allow me to iterate towards that vision, and let's go back and forth. Sometimes if I put my leadership hat on, I want to dictate how someone gets to the same result.
Yeah.
And if it's healthy, then I just want them to get to the result. And I think, you know, leading people to result versus leading people to excruciating detail yeah. is really important with creatives. I think freedom is a big deal. I think relationship is a big deal. And then I think having an authentic, vulnerable relationship with them. So that goes back to relationship, but being able to understand that there are going to be highs and lows. They may feel and express things at a different level on both ends.
Yeah.
So disappointment, sadness, excitement, all of those things, depending on where they are on the emotional spectrums, they're going to feel in a deeper way. So to be able to kind of absorb that, not get, you know, weirded out by it,
yeah.
but be able to say, I see what you're feeling today. I hear you. Let's move to the next place and help lead them through those emotions.
Yeah, that's good.
And I think the more mature the creative becomes and the more self-aware they become, the more they can kind of manage what they're sensing and feeling. Because many times, like, I have one of my sons is extraordinarily creative and is a highly sensory person. So he's picking up on dynamics that most kids his age aren't picking up on. So we have to pay attention to that and help shepherd him through those seasons where he's picking up environmental and emotional dynamics yeah. and he's absorbing that in a different way. If it's tense, he picks that up. And even though he may not be in the conversation or he may not be in the thing. So we have to shepherd creative people through those zones. Now, there's a lot of nuance to that. That's yeah. overgeneralized. But I think freedom, relationship, and authenticity, you know, is yeah. it.
And if I could add one thing to that, too, because I think you hit on something there, just this idea of empathy. I know that as I've had the privilege of leading a lot of creatives, one of the things early on that, because I don't naturally lean into empathy, not understanding that a true creative, what they create is also part of who they are. It's part of their ethos. It's part of coming out of them. And so sometimes it's easy to, especially direct leaders, can just kind of go, no, I don't like that, I don't like that. And not understanding that sometimes when you say, I don't like that, I don't like that, it can be, if you're not leaning in empathy, it could be received like, you don't like me, or yep. you don't like what Correct. I produce and so forth. So creatives are the most incredible people to lead, but it does take some skill yeah. to lead those people.
Well, and the empathy is huge, because to be able to also shepherd creatives to the place where they realize that they are not what they make,
yeah,
they really aren't, that they're able to serve with what they make, but they need to be able to give birth to things and then, you know, evaluate it, make it better. You know, I tell songwriters all the time, please, if you want to write with me, don't be too precious.
Yeah.
Don't be too precious, because if you get a little too twisted up, it's going to be hard for you to get to the best idea. But there again, that's where the maturity and the process is so beautiful, because if we allow it, God shapes our character and molds us in those moments where we can, those of us that are on the other end of the spectrum, like you said, that are a little bit more direct, a little bit more, you know, clear, it's very black and white, it's very simple.
Yeah.
You know, it causes us to have to, you know, power down a little bit and be able to bring them along to another place. So it works on both levels. You know?
Yeah, that's awesome. Let's talk about the church at large. Obviously, culture is shifting and technology is moving at rapid pace. I think even post-pandemic, it's just things have with technology and so forth. Are there any trends or anything that you're seeing that you would encourage the church to lean into? Maybe they're wanting to lean more into creative environment. Any advice that you would give the church leaders of how to embrace or leverage creativity more effectively in the church?
Well, I would say that now more than ever, as we innovate, as we look for ways to tell the story of the gospel, as we look for ways to, you know, to create community, all those things, technology and creativity, obviously, you know, is at the forefront. I love Daniel Pink's mind, you know, or Daniel Pink's book, A Whole New Mind,
yeah.
talking about the creative brain. But I will say tending our relationships is the key. It's the key to moving forward in our innovation and our creativity. I get to work with some extraordinary, you know, genius level people that are in production design and film and all of these things. And to unlock the things that they're going to discover, they have to lead from a healthy soul. They have to create from a healthy soul. I think to innovate, we have to steal away and we have to quiet our souls more than ever. But to constantly be distracted will, I think, keep us from innovating the way we need to. So that the collaborative conversations that are come, they're going to be people on your team, leader, they're going to be people that are going to have the idea that's going to connect the small groups in a different way moving forward, or they're going to have the experiential moment or technique or short story or film that's going to move into culture in a different way. You've got to take time to slow down, look your people in the eye, develop those relationships, and really release the creativity in your team.
That's really good. That's really good. Okay, one last question for you. Obviously, you're incredibly creative. You've done a lot. Has there ever been something you've had an idea or something you've been a part of that it was just going to be incredible and it flopped?
Well, there's definitely been a few moments through the years where you think, you know, you created a service moment or a song that you thought was going to change everything. You know, every songwriter thinks that. When you write a song and you're in your songwriting room, you go, man, this is the one.
Yeah.
This is going to make it happen. I would say there have been a few. There are probably too many to name. There was a time when we were leading here at Christ Fellowship years ago, and we tried to chase a creative look on the platform for a Christmas event. And it ended up, somehow, when we showed up to kind of preview it and the production people got into it, it ended up looking like the stage of the latest Van Halen tour. And it was supposed to be for Christmas.
Yeah.
And that was a miss.
Yeah, that didn't work so well.
That was a miss. And there wasn't much we could do. We were a little late in the game. I remember that one pretty distinctly. It's still burned in my memory, but there's been a lot. Have you heard me tell the story of when I was leading for that? We had hosted a conference here with Hybels and Saddleback was here, everybody. It was years ago. And I came out and I was trying to say, there's only a few things God can't do, and one of them is he can't learn. He knows all things simultaneously. We were getting ready to go into God of Wonders, and the pad was going, the whole thing. It was amazing. The room was ready. The cameras are zooming in on me. And I said, church family, church, I just want you to know, God knows nothing. And it just like, I just remember like Pastor Tom and Todd and Hybels and all these guys looking up at me and Rick Warren, they're squinting. They're like, what are you doing? Like, what are you saying? God knows nothing. And then I just kind of looked at everybody and, you know, went, but everything, you know, God knows nothing but everything. And that's the same one that I spit the gum into the piano.
Yeah.
I choked on a cough drop, had to run off the stage. It was a rough conference for me.
You know, sometimes you just have to just keep going.
That's right.
And hopefully people forget.
They did. We moved on. There were great moments after that that, you know, everybody moves on.
That's
when
right.
I think it's important when you have those moments, first of all, you have to have a sense of humor.
Yeah.
You cannot take yourself too seriously. But when you have those moments even that are corrective, and how do you recover? How do you get back from a flop, from a failure? First, I think you just have to acknowledge what went wrong.
Yeah.
And go, let's learn from that. I don't want that to happen again, and document it. But then you have to realize there's a new day. There's new opportunity.
Yeah.
And you got to accelerate through it. You got to keep going. There's too much good things coming. There's too many things to happen. So I don't know, for anybody out there that's really messed up recently or done something stupid, you know, and created something that didn't work or whatever it is, you just have to evaluate it, take ownership of where the things that you made mistakes maybe, and then move on.
Awesome. Well, Michael, man, it's so great to have you on the podcast. Thanks so much for spending some time with us. Hey, if listeners wanted to learn more about you, where would they connect with you online?
Yeah, well, they can see some of my work at michaelneal.com and can easily connect with me through there. So
awesome. Hope to do this again sometime.
Thanks, brother.
Thanks for listening to the Nexus Podcast. For additional resources and show notes from today's episode, check out our website, nexusplatform.com. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to subscribe, share with a friend, and leave us a comment below. We hope these conversations left you feeling equipped and resourced as you grow and develop the best versions of yourself, your team, and your church.